your eyes held a tender light, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly, a fairyland where no one else could enter, and you in the center, just you and me, dear. My like a hammer, my arms wound around you tight, and swords fell on Alabama, honey, last night.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and we're now switching to our live local programming. Happy holidays to all of our listeners out there. Happy 2010 coming right up. WHFR's 25th year of broadcasting. Whoop-dee-doo. How do we make it so long? Well, by giving you the kinds of things you can't get on any other radio station, and the next hour is a good example of that. It is, in fact, our pregnant pause. Our news and information, our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. It's the new WHFR Journal for January the 1st, 2010. Happy to be with you in the new year. As some people say, first thing in the morning, happy to be alive, even. It's another day, and it's another year, so that means we got a chance to make it better. We have a chance to get it right this time. Local news and views, and those are usually alternative views with things that you just can't hear anywhere else in your dial. I'm joined in the studio by my news director, Dennis Reimars, and our WHFR reporter, Amy Power. So happy new year to you folks.
Happy new year to you.
Happy new year, Jay. How are you?
Okay, we can't hear Amy. Let's hear that again, Amy.
Happy new year to you.
Okay.
And Dennis.
Oh, I am so loud and clear.
Yes, you were. Okay, let's turn their mic.
It's like a little too loud. Let's turn this.
Okay, and just so you know, because you may realize that we broadcast from Henry Ford Community College. Our station, WHFR.FM, the station making waves, is licensed to Henry Ford Community College. The college is still closed until Monday. So Monday, the offices will reopen, and if you need to get admitted, haven't been here before as a student, you can do it at that time starting Monday morning. Still time to register for the winter semester, which starts just a week from Monday on the January 11th. So by all means, start a new year with new education, new learning, and that'll make things better too. Get ready for the next job. Maybe your job seems okay now, but remember, got to keep changing up with new technology, new ideas. And we do have a lot of classes here, and a lot of sections are already closed. So if you're thinking of coming, by all means, jump right in there as soon as you can on Monday. And if you've already been a student here, already been admitted, even if it was like 7 or 8 years ago, you can enroll in this semester online. The computers are still running and up and running. And so you can go to hfcc.edu and pick your classes and sign up for classes all online even now. So you don't have to wait until the college officially opens with admissions, registration, and financial aid on Monday, unless you need to talk to somebody in person about that. And we also know that there's going to be a Super Saturday coming up next Saturday. Not that you should wait till next Saturday to get a class here at Henry Ford Community College, but next Saturday from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., they're going to have admissions, financial aid, and registration people all there. And they don't normally come in on Saturday, but at the last minute, 2 days before classes start, there's still a chance to get in. So if you say, it's back to work this week, I won't have a chance to get admitted even, okay, don't worry about that. You can do it next Saturday at the last minute, but you can do it. 9 a.m., show up here with several types of identification and a checkbook or a credit card, and you'll be all set for the new year in our winter semester. Just so you don't think that the college is open today, we have access cards and we're 24/7. All of the rest of the campus is closed. Okay, we're going to do a summary rather quick, I hope, but for the last 2 weeks, we haven't been on the new WHFR Journal because of special holiday programming. So let's take a look. I'm going to run down a summary here, and maybe we'll give you some details of what's been happening in Dearborn and the surrounding area. First of all, that the combined sewer overflow project, and we've been mentioning that, and the technology being ahead of its time, still ahead of its time, and I think failures at 5 of the 13 dig sites where they're trying to dig these overflow basins underground. There's lawsuits going like crazy. We've mentioned all this to you before. This is a federally mandated environmental plan, but Dearborn did it different than all the other local areas, and with this state-of-the-art plan that really doesn't work very well. But a couple of side consequences is, this is from the December 20th Press and Guide, CSO noise is actually the noise from the project is costing the city of Dearborn money. The city of Dearborn, and it's not much, it's shelling out $550 a month to rent space at the West Village Plaza on Michigan Avenue west of Outer Drive after receiving several complaints about noise being caused by rock excavation at CSO 8. The site, located on Military just north of Michigan Avenue, is one of several sites being excavated as part of this CSO. I'm just wondering if I can rent a Village Plaza location for only $550 a month. Maybe I could move in there. We can put some of the homeless over there. How did they get a price like that? What is it, an office? You know, the plaza is a tall building there in a shopping center. Or maybe it's a shopping center. Maybe there's a vacant storefront. There's probably a lot of vacant storefronts, like at Fairlane Town Center and elsewhere. But $550 a month? That's like nothing. If you want to open a business, folks, I'd say go to West Village Plaza and check them out and say, I want that same rental you gave the city. It's probably just a 5x5 area or something with a telephone. But the noise pollution project is, the noise coming from the project made them rent this. Okay. And, of course, they're digging through heavy-duty rock the development person in the city, Brian Murray, has said that the noise level has been well below that allowed by the city ordinance. I think the city ordinance talks about some boom boxes blasting within 15 feet of your head or something. Obviously, this is not that way, but a lot of people say they can't sleep at night. They can't stay at their residence between 8:30 in the morning and 7 p.m. while the excavation is taking place. So, if you work a midnight shift, that's inconvenient. You probably can't sleep. Apparently, it is that bad. And so the council approved, our city council, approved last Monday, entering into a lease agreement it's a total cost of $1,100 for 2 months at the West Village Plaza. I guess this is a place to complain. We come to an agreement with the contractor sitting in the resident that will allow him. Oh, yes, I see the resident that was, I see they did rent it for the resident who couldn't sleep in his house, who couldn't live in his house. It will allow him to move into the West Village Plaza for a couple of months until that phase of the construction is over. Oh, I thought it was a monitoring thing by the company. See, it pays to read these articles in detail and to go to the second page, too, yeah. Folks. Remember to turn the page and find out the whole thing. So that's not bad, though. I mean, I think more people ought to. I didn't know that they had a permit to allow the West Village Plaza to be a residential area, but they control the permits.
Well,
the
city, I was going to say, we got okay. It. Well, you know what? And as bad as that, the noise problem might stink.
Yeah, well, the smell, too.
No pun intended.
No, very much so. There was a smell there that they've determined, and I think this is very important, that horrible smell of what is potentially, and I quote, a colorless, toxic, inflammable gas is not a health concern.
Yeah, they boiled it down to saying that it's a natural gas. You know, the smell residents are saying is a rotten egg smell.
Right, it's trapped in the rocks, and you know this could be from millions of years ago.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, this is hydrogen sulfide, and this is in the press and guide from Sunday, December 27th.
Right.
The foul smell at the CSO site is not a health concern, city officials say.
Well, that's
especially if you're some distance away.
Yeah, especially if you're indoors.
It turns out that the gas is hydrogen sulfide. That's a colorless, toxic, and flammable gas with an odor similar to rotten eggs. So if there's enough of it there, it will kill you.
Yeah.
If there's enough of it there and somebody lights a spark, boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a health concern.
But it's not a health concern. No, it does have a very strong odor. You know, they said this about one of the schools in Dearborn a couple years ago about several pollutants that were, in the roof or the ceiling, some fungus or whatever was growing, a mold, and the schools were, it smelled terrible, and teachers were almost going to go on strike, and a lot of kids were getting sick. And the school district brought in all these experts saying, yeah, it smells bad, but it won't kill you. Well, unless you're sensitive.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can route you to another school. So, of course, our school board decided, well, we'll just increase the airflow. And,
right.
and they put money into better ventilation systems to try to get the smell out. And they're just making do. Of course, the only other answer was tear down the whole school because they couldn't just take the roof off and redo the roof, which is where the problem was. They didn't have an attic, so they couldn't climb in there. It was like, you know, one of these modern roofs that it's all in one piece, but the water had seeped in and the smell was bad. So we're still in that school. I can't remember what it was, one of the middle schools in Dearborn. That's our tax dollars at work. Again, they tried to mitigate it by tarping off the area. Again, it was just because some excavated rock that had the hydrogen sulfide in it was sitting exposed, and it took several days before the contractor put it in a truck and took it away. So that's another beautiful situation there. That's the CSO update in Dearborn. We've got a village, West Village Plaza, rented for one of our residents to escape the pounding. The noise and the foul smell, it's not a health concern, so just wear your clothespins on your nose or something, folks. Sorry about that. And I guess that's a segue to Mr. Fakuri and the development of the West Dearborn area there, because this is not far from...
Yeah, very...
he is hoping they get the smell and the noise out of there before he can start his development. The city has approved an extension for him to time... is still there for him to raise money to start construction to get money for the construction of businesses, maybe apartments or condos, whatever.
Student housing now.
Student housing
right.
for U of MD students. Why not for HFCC
maybe,
students?
Maybe. Could work.
Well, because, some of the... University of Michigan Dearborn, they actually had a whole facility to house families, mm-hmm. okay, adult families with kids. And it's right now they turned it over to offices for faculty.
Oh, it is being used for something?
Yeah, it's being used for something over there. But, you know, the playground is still there and all fenced in, but, you know, faculty don't play. So, you know, that's, but they have, that's why the faculty, they have all private baths and they've got kitchens in their offices and, yeah, you know, that's real cool. But you know, they had problems. They didn't get as many people. This is about 10 or 20 years ago, staying in these residences. Mm. So they couldn't pay. There was a trend away from staying in dorms of one sort or another at all four-year schools. And this is in a residential area. So they thought, well, we don't really need it. It's more costly. And then there's always the little kids falling down and skinning their knees and suing the college. And I don't know if they did or not, but you know, there are legal problems with, you know, running residences.
Sure. Plus this is an absolute, these are commuter schools. I mean, they're looked at that way.
They really are.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, and I may sound naive, but wasn't there a plan at some point to do something with the hotel on Michigan Avenue? I know that right now there's a lot of cars parked there. I think it's us.
The hotel. What hotel are you referring to? It's not the Hampton Inn.
No. The Hampton's further along on the south side.
That's already there. Yeah, it's on the south side.
This used to be a Quality Inn over by Andiamo.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what they're going to do with that.
Because I thought maybe that would be student housing, and I know that sounds too logical.
Yeah, because it's already there, and it's small rooms, but that's all a student would need because they're always studying.
Oh, yeah.
They're always studying at the library.
Oh, it's been a while since you...
Yeah, they're never partying at the bars nearby. No,
CJ knows way more, doesn't he, Amy?
Okay, I lived in the dorms. We studied in the dorms.
We studied.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
If we were there. Okay. No, what I wanted to mention was, where's the Times Herald on the 30th? Okay, here it is. I found it. The council did extend the Fukuri development agreement. However, the development has changed. Okay, they didn't give him everything he wanted. And here's the story from J. Patrick Pepper in the Dearborn Times-Herald from just this last Wednesday, 2 days ago. When the city council approved, in Dearborn here, an extension of a preferred developer's agreement with the Dearborn Village Partners, LLC, that's Mr. Fukuri's company, on December 21st, it was with the understanding that the West Downtown project would be significantly different than what was first proposed. The most prominent difference is in the dollar amounts. What was supposed to be originally a $124 million private-public project has been more than chopped in half to comprise a projected $50 million investment. But other changes have also been made to the plan, to the initial plan, including the absence of a Michigan Avenue civic space and the purpose of a housing component. In a memo on the project, Economic and Development Director Barry Murray outlined those changes, said the project initially was to include 256 condos, okay, an 881-space parking deck, and demolition of the existing Michigan Avenue frontage, with the exception of the Oakwood Muirhead building, which is part of Oakwood Hospital Healthcare or something or other. Okay, civic space was envisioned in the middle of the Michigan Avenue frontage, which would require the relocation of Fidelity Bank. I wonder if they were happy about that. But that's not what's going to happen, okay? A plan is yet to be developed illustrating the new program. But now the proposed project would include, number one, as we mentioned, student housing that would be privately developed to accommodate University of Michigan Dearborn students. Privately developed, so maybe U of MD would have something to do with that. That component would be completed in two phases and eventually serve 432 students. The first phase of this total project would represent $10 million to $13 million in private investment. Fukuri has obtained a letter of intent from real estate developer firm Moravian Koss. It looks like Koss, C-O-S. Period, though, indicating their interest in this aspect of the project. And then, besides the student housing, a 110 to 125-room hotel valued at approximately $7.5 million and $10 million in private investment. Then, point three, a freestanding parking deck of undetermined size that would be separated from the stacked arrangement of parking and housing that previously was envisioned. The separated components would reduce significantly the cost of the deck, Murray said, noting that the Dearborn Town Center deck, currently under construction, Dearborn Town Center deck.
Must be
that's on the east side.
Montgomery Ward, sure.
By Montgomery Ward, yeah. Currently under construction is projected to cost about $21,000 per space.
Per space.
Per space.
Do you know the numbers?
You could buy a house. Well, almost in Dearborn with prices dropping down.
Yeah. don't go there.
But 21,000, what, just for a parking spot?
Do you know how long it would take to recoup this investment?
Well, I don't know how much per space it was for the Tweedledee and Tweedledum towers, as Doug Thomas used to call them in West Dearborn. No, we call them Dumbo and Jumbo.
Yeah, that's right.
Dumbo and Jumbo. Tweedledum, Tweedledee is the two Ford land development office buildings over here, in the middle of nowhere, just sort of, we have twin towers all over the place, folks, if you're missing one in New York. Also, they're going to put an Imagine Theater is being discussed for the Bailey's site. Bailey's, the exercise people.
Yeah.
So they're going to demolish them and kick them out?
No.
I guess?
That's just sitting there open, isn't it?
Oh, there's not there anymore.
The Bailey's used to be, right. Now they're in the mall.
It's on the north side.
But they used to be on the north side.
Oh, they moved to the mall.
Yeah, they're in
the Fairlane Town Center.
Town Center.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they'd moved out.
There's almost nothing. I mean, that's funny when you said Fidelity Bank and Panera.
Yeah. So. I've got a problem with Imagine, folks, and I'm sorry about this, but if you don't realize, they're running theaters in Westland Canton area. There's one down in Wyandotte, I think.
Mm-hmm. One coming to Royal Oak.
One in Troy Oak, one in Royal Oaks. And just so you know, as a film teacher here, those are all going to be video projections of movies. Now, high def, but it's going to be 1/4 the sharpness and clarity on the screen. You may not notice the difference if you're watching an old TV set at home when you're watching VHS tapes or something still, where the resolution is pretty bad to start with. But that's a bad trend, folks. Until I can get video resolution up to 4,000 lines, which right now HD is 1080, as everybody knows, if you're buying a HD TV set, 1080p, ooh, the best quality. No, it's 1/4 the quality of what a film projection is like. But at least it'd be a movie theater. You know, I would never go to an Imagine Theater. As a person that knows the difference, I'm only going to go someplace that they're showing film or film quality. And it's going to be quite a few years, maybe 20 years, I hear, before video quality is going to be as good as film quality. So bad idea, but maybe it'll work. Maybe they'll drop prices. No, Imagine does not drop prices. No.
Back to Mr. Ficouri.
Yes.
That whole thing, the way it played out, was really interesting because I think we had talked about earlier that the city council wasn't, I don't think they were unanimous in any one direction on this. I think, and I remember reading that Mr. Tafalsky had said that he, after this, how long this has gone on, he was interested in looking at his options. There was a really big tax incentive tied into this whole thing that had the extension not taken place, had that not happened, they would have lost this huge tax, the tax incentive that very, and they wouldn't be able to get it back is my point. Another developer wouldn't be able to have that same incentive.
Right.
That's a big deal because that, according to the article that I read, that means that 20% of every investment dollar is profit. That's a big deal.
Well, I mean, I did read this article and it's not clear to me. I remember one of the problems with the $150 million proposal that the city council was concerned about was that they got the responsibility for building a parking tower.
Right.
Right.
So that's one of the things that they're out of that, even though they're somehow involved, but it's a much less expensive plan. But there has to be parking as part of that. There's also going to be, they say, a bowling alley, maybe with the Imagine Theater. You know, multimedia complex. Go bowl.
Well, I know, but we need people here first before. Well,
this you know what? I don't know what's happening with bowling, but, you know, it seems to me on TV, there's some sort of entertainment complex somewhere around Detroit, a local ad, and they don't even tell where they're located. So I don't know where the heck it is. But they show on television in their commercial about five lanes. That's it, five lanes of bowling. And huge video screens at the end of each lane. Now, not to tell you what your score is, but they're playing like sports and news.
Oh.
I mean, while you're trying to get the ball down the alley, this massive HD video screen is right at the end.
Imagine. Now,
keep your eye on the ball, not on the screen, though, folks.
That's great.
I mean, what in the world?
And you can buy groceries.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be part, you know, whether they're going to put video screens in the Imagine bowling alley or whether the bowling alley is separate. But this is really.
Maybe it's virtual bowling, but that's really being lazy.
No, that's not. No, it's not virtual here. No. Okay, so let's look at what other stories we haven't talked about. There's a really good one we do want to cover, an editorial opinion of Tom Watkins, but it's also a news story, too. So let's jump into that right now and try to cover that. I believe it was the same article in the December 20th Press and Guide. that they ran again, either by mistake or on purpose, in the 30th. And so I need a copy of that.
Okay, I'll find you one.
Here's the 30th.
Okay, thank you. That's why I have Amy and Dennis
That's
here.
That's right.
They find the papers.
Shuffle papers.
You ready to leave now?
We have the papers here in front of us, and we turn the pages on the air. Okay. Now, this is a news story. There was a national study, and I'm just going to summarize this part, about the best and worst public education facilities in the whole United States. Okay. And it's interesting that we have the best, the second best, and the worst public school systems, according to some standardized testing at different grade levels, in the whole United States. Okay? The worst and the near best. And where is the worst? Detroit. Yes, Detroit public schools are the worst. They scored the worst in the nation in math, according to national test scores. I heard from a teacher who works near Detroit, and of course teachers are always protective of their own districts, but this teacher doesn't work in Detroit, but they said, yep, if the kids show up, they pass them. Mm-hmm. I hope that's not true, and that's an insult to all Detroit teachers who are doing a great job in a very difficult situation. But the irony that Tom Watkins, and I'm looking again the editorial page from the Press and Guide, December 30th, is that the second best in the country is Bloomfield Hills School District, the International Academy. Okay, the International Academy. And it was named the second best public high school in the nation according to the annual best high schools list by U.S. News and World Report. So the best and the worst according to two different standards. Okay, the worst for Detroit according to math scores nationally in standardized testing. And the U.S. News and World Report, that's sort of like a Time magazine, folks, if you look at Time or Newsweek. At all weekly news magazines, but the U.S. News and World Report, I know they do a best college issue, best colleges in the U.S., and it's somewhat debatable.
Yeah.
You know, so it's somewhat subjective, but they have various criteria.
Right, it's more than just scores, though.
But their second best high school is Bloomfield Hills School District, the International Academy. So I don't know if that applies to any other schools, any other high schools in Bloomfield. For like Bloomfield Hills has Andover High School.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Excellent.
But they mentioned International Academy, not Andover. So
they're mentioning specific schools because the number one is the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Alexandria, Virginia.
Right, Alexandria, Virginia. We know how important science and technology is going to be for the future for all of us. It's all going to be technology.
This is part of the name, though.
All may become cyborgs or something, and so we have it all integrated within us. Though. So not yet. I am a digital voice. It says, he points out here, of course, other than the irony that these districts are only about 20 miles apart, and it proves certainly that the effort by our state of Michigan to give equal funding to every student, that is per student equal funding in every district in Michigan, that should equalize the test results, right? No. Of course, and as he points out, the overwhelming majority of the students at the International Academy have had a better start in life. Okay? I mean, the incomes in Bloomfield Hills are much higher. The rent's higher, so the incomes must be higher to pay for it. And so maybe they have two parents instead of one. Certainly the numbers show that to be true, that many more young people are being raised by one parent alone in Detroit than in many of the suburbs like Bloomfield Hills, and maybe that helps. More opportunities to use computers, to have better clothes, more food to eat even, just all those obvious things. There's a big economic level difference between Bloomfield Hills and Detroit. And, of course, those with a better start are bound to do better in school. And so even if maybe teachers and programs are the same, although they point out here that the U.S. News and World Report talks about the International Academy, which emphasizes a global four-year curriculum. They call it baccalaureate, but in fact, it's a high school degree, which means all the way from 9th grade through 12th grade is a unified effort to train them for, well, the future and the international global economy. They're probably studying foreign language and other things that the state of Michigan has only begun to mandate now, more science, math, foreign language study for all high schools over the next 4 or 5 years. And they probably already got it. They're probably already there. I'm just guessing, but I'd suspect that's one thing that we know we've got to be that way. We've got to learn, we've got to study, and we've got to have the right classes. And he goes on just to say here, too, that the man in charge of the Detroit Public Schools, Robert Bob, his last name is B-O-B-B, so that's Bob with two B's. We have a Rob with two B's.
Yeah, but we got a place for him.
He's a Bob with two B's. Understands, he does say that he thinks, Robert Bob understands that teaching and learning trumps and must drive the financial decisions in any quality high school. He also realizes that the academic deficit for the children in DPS is far greater than the fiscal deficit that he inherited and which soars into the hundreds of millions. He is unearthing the ugly truth that DPS has been about the Detroit public school system in the past. Power, control, politics, jobs, and adults. It hasn't been about teaching, learning, children, and quality education. So they've got a big turnaround to do there. And Watkins sort of just concludes and says that all of us should be very worried about adults failing the children of Detroit. So if you're an adult in Detroit, you got a big burden there on you. Tom Watkins does not live in Detroit, by the way, so he's out of that particular burden. And he actually refers to it. He says what's happening in Detroit is nothing short of educational genocide. Well, there's a challenge to the adults in Detroit and the teachers, and hope something can be done.
Well, we've been talking. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, now, granted, these are public schools, but I think it's where the particularly Detroit charter schools are getting to give them a run for their money. They're graduating students. They're going on to college. Their performance levels are certainly superior to the kids in the Detroit public schools. And
the charter schools in Detroit, you're saying?
Yeah.
Look at now that some of the other surrounding communities have opened their schools up to people not from their city. I know Taylor's been doing this for a while, and they're very aggressively recruiting. Would that be a good word? Recruiting people from everywhere.
But the average person in Detroit, especially low-income or poverty-level people, they can't afford to send their kids to charter schools. There's no reimbursement for the tuition.
No, but they can afford to mess around with it, and I know this firsthand, to play around with where their actual residence is so that they can get their kids into better schools.
If they want to send them from, let's say, West Detroit to Dearborn, I know that's possible.
It happens all the time.
Right. But there's still the transportation issue. The parents are they're not going to send a bus or a minivan or something these kids.
And I think we could agree that the people that are doing this, regardless of whether right or wrong or whatever, their intentions are very good to be able to have their kids in better, what they perceive as
absolutely.
Better schools.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Sure.
You know, it's what every parent wants, or, you know, their kids to be, you know, in a, have more chance at success than they've had.
Right. I agree. I mean, we
but
there was a plan that
involved parents.
Right. That's really what this all boils down to. And you look at the difference between West Bloomfield and Detroit, that might be the single biggest factor.
Yeah. And it might be a lot more, much easier to be involved when you've got a little bit more of a economic cushion. Transportation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point. Very good
basics.
Point.
Well, I think we're going to take a break here on the new WHFR Journal, a little past our halfway point. We'll go on until 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock begins the Highway 61 Best of 2009 show. That's right, the very best blues albums released in 2009 as chosen by Joanne Korchinska. And that's going to be starting at 2 o'clock. But we're going to start with Jim Hightower's helpful New Year's resolutions. And listen to a couple of public service announcements, and we'll be back with more local news and views here on the new WHFR Journal for January 1st, 2010. Happy New Year.
In addition to working up my own list of New Year's resolutions, it occurs to me that some of the people running our country could benefit from my suggestions for their list. No need for them to thank me. Happy to help. Where better to start than with those proud and loud members of Congress who adamantly opposed real health insurance reform for workaday Americans? Not only do I include the entire block of Republican lawmakers whose vocabulary consists only of the word no, but also those pathetic Democrats who've compromised the reform idea into corporate mush. Each of these stalwarts of the status quo should make this resolution. Since I helped kill reform, I will give up the excellent government-paid socialized health coverage that I get so that I am in the same leaky boat as my constituents. And here's a resolution for the barons of Wall Street, who continue to float on billions of dollars in government bailout money, yet are grabbing bonus payments for themselves while pouting that the public is not showing them the love they deserve. I hereby pledge to go through the 12-step detox program of Greedheads Anonymous to cure my narcissism and become a human being again. Let's not forget the Obamacans either. They came into office on an anti-war, anti-fat cat, pro-middle-class program, yet have expanded their war, catered to fat cats, and offered the middle class nothing but a jobless recovery. Here's the resolution we need from Obama. In year two of my term, I promise to Democrat up by getting some economic advisors who've actually met a real worker, download recordings of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt to my iPod, and require everyone in my administration to volunteer at least one loved one to go to war in Afghanistan. This is Jim Hightower saying, if we only can get those in charge to make these pledges, I think we'll all have a happier new year.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Red Defender, thank goodness you're here. That huge asteroid is headed right towards Earth.
I'll handle this.
Like an arrow shot from a man-sized bow, the Red Defender hurtles into space using his super strength to stop the asteroid.
He's stopping the asteroid. It's moving away from Earth. You saved us. How did you do it?
I just stopped the asteroid and reversed its course back into space.
Look, the moon. It's exploded.
Where exactly did you throw that asteroid?
Away. I threw it away.
No more moon. That means no more tides. Tides are created by the moon.
And no more walks in the moonlight. I love walks in the moonlight.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. To find out more, go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Time is running out for new students to register for Henry Ford Community College's 2010 winter semester. New students must come in person to be admitted to HFCC, and the college campus will be closed from December 24th through January 3rd. So hurry and get admitted today. Call 1-800-585-HFCC for more information before it's too late.
And we're back with more of the new WHFR Journal, January 1st, 2010. 2010, isn't it exciting? And I'm here with Dennis and Amy, and we're surveying some of the last stories, not the best of 2009, stories, but the newest stuff that maybe we didn't cover in the last 2 weeks and you didn't hear about, because things have been happening before Christmas anyway, and a couple things after Christmas. But as long as we were talking about schools, the state legislature, that is Michigan state legislature, which is normally thought of as, you know, in gridlock, it did pass the race to the top rules for schools. And what they did was, and the state of, you know, they had to wait for local school districts like Dearborn to approve the reforms if they were put in place. The legislature then voted to be in favor of the reforms. And now the federal government, because this is government money, $400 million in federal money for Michigan schools. Hard to believe. $400 million. Swallowing hard. In federal money for Michigan schools. But the federal government may or may not give that money because of competition with other schools in the country, in other states in the country. We're not saved by that money, but now everything has been approved by, even though there were questions and doubts about the reforms that were sort of pushed down quickly down the throats of the Dearborn Board of Ed and the state of Michigan. And of course, all these reforms have been fought by the teacher unions, by the administrators union. So we're talking about the MEA, the Michigan Education Association. We're talking about the American Federation of Teachers, because they represent some of the districts. None of the typical lobbyist groups that represent the stakeholders, the people that work in education in Michigan, were in favor of any of these reforms, which came from our federal government. Okay, but the money will help, right? And the reforms, well, we can't go into them. We don't have enough time on this show. But you should read the article, the so-called second front page. Maybe they're starting something new. It's called the second front page, Wednesday, December 23rd at the Press and Guide. You know, there's still the school cuts are still happening, and a lot of people have been laid off, teachers and support staff and so on in Dearborn. Nothing has changed there. But there's more money that could come in. Applications are due from states in January. Fewer than half of them are likely to win money through the competition. If Michigan has the worst, thank you, Detroit, the worst public school system in the country, and it's certainly a large number of people live in Detroit, not as many as before, like 30 years ago, but in terms of the whole state, maybe that will be a factor in getting the federal money to come to Michigan. Certainly, everybody knows the difficult economic situation Michigan has, which means difficult to fund the schools on top of it. So there's quotes from Representative Andy Dillon, and he says, in order to keep Michigan on the road to recovery, we must invest in our kids' education. It's that simple. The plan will give our state an edge and race to the top to help bring these important federal funds to Michigan. Okay, so there's, you know, we'll look at it, what it means later, but everybody's already said, well, if there's strings attached, we'll be the puppets. Okay, we'll just to get the money, because maybe we can do some good stuff with the money one way or another. I don't know, more computers, but obviously in Dearborn, we hope it means getting some of these laid off people back to work too. You can't train students with a computer. You just can't do it, even if you have more computers. So anyway, that's an important update, just so you know, because there was dispute at the beginning of December. The Dearborn Board of Ed wasn't so sure. The state legislature wasn't so sure, but it all fell in place. So we're waiting now for the federal government to see if our application makes sense to them, if we win out over other states. Kind of nasty that states have to compete, though. Isn't it? I mean, that means some states are just, well, heck with you. Right?
Shouldn't
the federal government do it for everybody that's in need? I mean, well, they don't have that much money. But, this competition thing, it should mean that, the neediest will get it, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Let's leave it at that. It should.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing with me. That's why Dennis is here.
That's why I'm here.
I say something, I look at him, he agrees.
That's right.
Okay. Building and Safety Department in Dearborn. Well, we don't have a Building and Safety Department. We have a couple of departments. It was split up, and some people have already been charged, and I think maybe you're already, maybe their trials have already started, in misdemeanors of accepting bribe money to approve of construction permits for various kinds of housing or building or whatever, which means the usual rules don't apply. And two more people were charged in this investigation. Although, as Dennis was mentioning to me just as we were playing a PSA, they think they're not going to be charging any more people.
Right.
But what is that, four people?
It's four. And
all together? Two this time, but was there two more before?
The two previous are currently awaiting sentencing, so... Like you said, everything's all been done. It's just a matter of how long they'll be put away. What did he say? I don't know. I remember reading the article. They said that we think that pretty much this is the end of it. And they've said that the investigation has been exhausted. And four people?
Yeah.
I mean, one is too many, but I think a year ago when this all broke, a year and a half ago, I'm sorry, a year when it all broke, I thought that there would be more than four. I thought there would be a lot of people on the pavement.
There's a related story here. It's actually an editorial opinion from Sayed Deep. Am I pronouncing it right, Dennis? Yeah. Sayed Deep.
And his blog Deep Said What? Yes.
Yeah. Well, he has an article, and I thought it was just one of the usual articles. This is in last Wednesday, December 30th, DPG, page 7A. And of course, his first name, Sayed, it's great because Deep said Deep. You know, but it's pronounced Sayed, I believe. Well, it, you know, as I said, in the newspaper, they always usually run an article, Times Herald Press and Guide, for any new business that opens. And the reason they do that is because that's important that we have another business opening and make you aware of it. Maybe you want to support it because it's right down the street. It's right local. It's right next door or whatever. So that's cool. But of course, they do it also for business reasons. Because maybe they'll buy ads in the future since they got a free story and free pictures in there. So Sayed Deep's column talks about the Deli on the Avenue opening, and that's on Military just north of Michigan. Think about it. Military just north of Michigan. Isn't that where they're drilling? Isn't that where the noise is and the bad smell? Oh, my God. Gosh,
is it the CSO Deli?
Yeah, they could rename themselves and become famous there. And they provide free, clips for your nose and earmuffs with maybe pre-recorded music coming through.
Push comes to shove, you get an office to stay.
And all the plates on your table are on cushioned pads, so the vibration doesn't spill anything.
Well, they're nailed down.
We're just joking, folks. Yeah. This is not true. The Deli on the Avenue, they serve up, now I got to say this to make up the difference here, serves up fresh sandwiches, soups, and salads daily. For just $5, patrons can get a nice sandwich, pickle spear, and chips. And so we wish them well, as anybody would with a local business. But here, this is the building safety issue. Deeper in the article, and we read deeper, deeper. But this is Deep's article. But deeper in the Deep article, which is not so deep you can't read it. Anyway, he says there's outdoor seating alongside the deli. It plans to use this spring. They're talking about, the owner, is Vicki Barndollar, and she plans to use it in the spring. She said that she wanted to put some seating, hopefully the smell will be gone, some seating directly outside of her store on Military, but she said city officials, apparently from building and safety, told her that wasn't allowed. The same building and safety official she was dealing with also told her, and this, she talks about building and safety as if it's one department, mm-hmm. so this must have been went before it was split up,
right.
Unless you just generically call it building and safety still, even though it's really only one half of what they split up. But she says the same building and safety official she was dealing with also told her she couldn't advertise the name of her business, Deli on the Avenue, on the awning over her store. Despite the fact that other businesses around town already have names on their awnings. Finally, she was told that putting up a sandwich board to advertise her daily specials to motorists on Military, this is right across from Sacred Heart Church, sure. by the way, folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about here, was also off limits. Now, we show here in the picture, it's not daily specials, but there is a fence that she has a sort of a poster over saying Deli on the Avenue Grand Opening. And she's able to put the name of a restaurant decals on the window of the front of the building.
I know it's tough for new businesses, but it's every city has ordinances regarding signs and the the sandwich boards.
Yeah,
and,
but they do this all the time. That was my question.
The problem is the inconsistency.
Right.
She's claiming that other businesses got away with it.
Oh my gosh!
Right.
Yeah. Right on Michigan Avenue.
So don't nail a new business, especially, when times are so tough, we need to support businesses in any way, shape, or fashion.
Well, we talked about it. I mean, Dearborn is really just a really a microcosm of what's going on in our entire state. It's that new business coming in, we'll lower whatever, we'll do this for you, but we're driving older businesses out,
right.
You know, and not helping them maintain.
Okay, let me finish here, because the quote from Vicki Barndollar, who runs or owns the Deli on the Avenue, Military north of Michigan, just north of Michigan, in fact. She says they, referring again to the building and safety department, were harder to deal with than the health department. Ugh. And, of course, as a restaurant, the health department has a lot of standards in Dearborn make sure you're serving healthy food and you have a clean establishment. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the food, but it's the plates and it's the
And that's an ongoing
floor.
Relationship, sure.
Right.
Sure.
But she says the building and safety were harder to deal with than health department. How many years have we heard this in Dearborn? How many years has this been going on, even under the Mayor Guido administration? And so what are the rules? I mean, I would hope someone from building and safety, whatever that department that is, would respond with a letter to the editor, or one of the reporters would go and get the city side of this mm-hmm. about why this happened. Was it because, and here, I'm casting aspersions, and I really shouldn't do this.
Please
she
do.
Didn't offer any money under her food table.
Uh-oh.
No, shouldn't say that because there was only four people. Okay, totally unfair for me to say that. But you think this person, if it was part of the old regime, was saying maybe if you, mm-hmm. what would you speak? Grease my palm.
Yeah.
That's a restaurant term,
sure.
Grease my palm.
Well.
No, I don't know. We don't know anything about this, folks. We're not casting aspersions. We would like to know, and I'm sure you would too, what are the rules of building and safety? Are they just subjectively called out depending on the inspector at the time in that situation, or is it actually down somewhere? And this talks about the seating outside the store, and this talks about the sign on an awning over her store. It's actually just an awning over her front window. I mean, it's not higher up or anything, folks. It's not that big, you know. And then you can't have a sandwich board outside. What about that fence with the poster on it? Is that against the rules too? The grand opening sign? That seems very restrictive if we're trying to help local businesses of all kinds, whether it's big franchise or really local like this. Seems very strange well, there it is in the editorial. So you decide. Syed says, and it's his opinion here, these actions hardly seem welcoming for a small business owner trying to get started in Dearborn, nor does it encourage others to locate in our city if this is really standard operating procedure. We fully understand there has to be rules in a downtown, but Barn Dollar's request seems very reasonable, he says, and actually could improve the look of the area, particularly the outdoor seating. Despite her startup hurdles, Barn Dollar, to her credit, is very upbeat about finally having her own store in the city where she was born and raised. So it's a somebody coming back to the roots, if you will. And she has some great credentials of years of work in other restaurants in the area, and so we wish them well there. But building and safety, just had to toss that one in. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we have only about 10 minutes, actually 9 minutes left in the show today. So what about New Year's resolutions, folks?
Oh, boy.
Where do we stand on those?
Yeah.
Do you mean personal, or what are we going to do to save the state?
Professionally, I think. I think some of the things that we can do to make this a better station.
However you want to respond. Amy, you get to go first. Yeah. And I can see you've got a long list
there.
Oh, my
gosh, Amy. Why is that?
No,
all
I was taking notes during the show. But my resolution list is a little smaller. But I was, it usually is. I was very impressed with the guest we had on a couple weeks ago, Al Fishman, who... Mm-hmm. At 81, is still very active in the peace movement, and it encouraged me to get a little bit more involved in that area. So
he had a lot of energy, didn't he?
Tremendous
wow.
energy. I was very impressed.
It was difficult to get him to start talking, though.
Huh.
Okay, I'm kidding.
Real brief insert here. Al Fishman, who's part of Peace Action Michigan, did mention, of course, Michigan Peace Team, who were sent this week, a group of, I think it's about 60 people, went over to try to do a protest to enter Gaza, the so-called Gaza Strip area, which is now under the control of Israel, and there's a lot of civil rights violations going on all the time, and things are still tense with bombs going off and rockets and so on. But only one member has been from the Michigan Peace Team was allowed to enter, and we do believe this happened 2 days ago, Wednesday, December 30th. Michigan resident and Palestinian refugee Yusuf Barakat, part of the Michigan Peace Team, was allowed. One of only 100 demonstrators out of 1,300 people that came from around the world will be allowed to go into the Gaza for the Gaza Freedom March. And that's in the tradition of Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi in protest against the siege of Gaza and to commemorate the deaths of 1,400 Palestinians during the Israeli offensive Operation Cast Lead. How do they come up with these names? Which happened just 1 year ago this week. A lot of us don't realize what's happening there. Mr. Barakat is 74 years of age. He was born in the city of Haifa and came to the U.S. in 1947. Hmm. So a long time U.S. after Jewish immigrants were settled in Palestine, kicking him out after World War II. We wish him well on the Michigan Peace Team. They're over there, folks. They're doing stuff. So, anything else, Amy, about your New Year's thoughts, resolutions, or new decade thoughts?
Boy, new decade thoughts.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I think, more than I was ready to chew off. Prediction. I'm thinking the end of 2010 will be a little bit better for our home prices.
You hope the value goes up. You're going to sell your house?
No.
Or are you going to buy one?
Nope.
No.
Just thinking some of these things will level out a little bit and start on the increase at the end of 2010. There's hoping.
Well, there's all the people that need to sell find that their house is worth less than what they owe.
I know.
And that's terrible for them. It traps them. And home values are much lower than what I think really the value of the houses are in Michigan. Obviously, anybody that wants to buy now that already has cash somehow, it's probably a good deal. But, we hope economics, and hope jobs come back. Hope there's some jobs that people can get to. Don't forget you need the education for a lot of the new jobs, folks. And our winter semester starts on the 11th of January. I just had to slide that in. Dennis?
Well, I mean, other than the normal, I want to leave the world a better place than I found it every morning or every day or whatever. I have a lot of personal resolutions, things that are important to me that, okay, this is where I want to be in my life at this point. And I'll keep those to myself.
Thank
you. Well, what time is it? anyway, but I do. There's a lot of things for this particular show and our station in general that I'm resolving to do better. I know that I'm capable of it. I'm going to bring that to the station. What about you, Jay?
Well, that's wonderful.
I would have said that. Me too.
Okay, forget what I just said. What do you want to do, Amy? Yeah,
well, I just want to start with something I saw.
He's got peaches of paper.
Everybody's doing resolutions.
Jay, you wrote on your arm, too?
What the heck? Jim Hightower, and of course you hear his voice on this show usually once, sometimes even twice per show, makes you think about progressive issues and things for all the people that need to be improved. He has a list that he put out on Wednesday at creators.com, but it's also at commondreams.org, one of my favorite websites. Six things to do in 2010. Okay.
And this is regard to activism, though.
Yeah,
right?
And activism. Okay. Number one, start by considering what's reasonable for you to get involved with. Not everybody can do everything. What's nearby? What's local? What could you make a difference in? Something rather than getting involved in everything. You try to get involved in everything. It's impossible. You're frustrated. You want to give up right away. Number two, very important, inform yourself. You can't do anything if you don't know anything or you don't know enough. I'd suggest read books, but even go on websites and keep up on a daily basis with what's happening. Keep listening to the show, but keep reading the local papers, Dearborn Press and Guide, Dearborn Times Herald, and get some books out of the library. My granddaughter just got her library card over the weekend.
Do you remember your first library card? I do.
Yep.
2 years old.
Awesome.
They gave her a library card.
Younger than me.
And they have, by the way, at the main library in Dearborn, they have a wonderful children's sort of like playroom and reading room.
Awesome. Centennial.
And she came back with a whole bag of books that were exactly right for her level, which is preschool, 2 years old. And so start with the kids, but start as long as you bring your kids over there. Why not get some books yourself? Guess what? Public library resident in Dearborn, free.
Free.
Including
DVDs
free to borrow.
And CDs.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. And they have
free
a
to borrow.
Wonderful selection.
Okay. So can't agree more with Jim Hightower there. Inform yourself. Number three, democracy belongs to those who show up. Join with others. Okay, get form groups. And he says another point here is form social groups, too, to talk about these issues. You know, have a party and talk about healthcare or whatever. I mean, you know, potluck, supper or something. He also refers to beer mug democracy at local taverns.
Right, or your local college.
Yeah. But number five, become the media. Create a local newspaper, newsletter, blog, online bulletin board. Or a real one, an internet radio broadcast. Maybe you want to become part of WHFR.FM. You know, Dennis and Amy, they're volunteers here. They're involved because they want to be. They came in on the holiday on January 1st. We didn't pay them. They're here.
He keeps saying
it's amazing.
He's saying that. And they,
well, someday maybe we can pay at least a token for...
Someday I'll earn it.
In fact, Dennis doesn't even have a car today. No, I had to go and pick him up. So, I mean, so geez, see, it's I not get, like I, rolling in...
I have perks.
Yeah. But finally, I have to conclude here in the last minute or so. I think there's going to be some big changes in the next couple of years. This is yours truly, Jay Koronek, in my opinion. Whether it's this year or... maybe 2012, big end of something, but maybe the beginning of something new, whether or not you believe about December 21st, 2012 being we need some significant
change. Our last broadcast. Is that a Friday?
No, that's a Saturday.
Is that a Friday? Oh, it's a Saturday. So
no,
we'll,
I'm kidding.
Oh, well, we'll be on the air the day before
we'll
the
get
end
an
of everything.
Extra special speaker in on that.
We do know, folks, that even if there's not global warming, there's great reasons why we shouldn't waste things, why we should change from oil. Peak oil, that means the maximum amount of oil for a low price, is going to happen real soon, like within the next 4 or 5 years. And then the price is going to skyrocket. Why? Because we don't have any more. Don't think about that oil shale stuff. The price of getting the oil from deeper in the ground or refining it from oil shale, too much, we won't be able to afford it. So now's the time to get into the next step.
Right.
Beyond. You know, Ford's going to have an electric car.
Absolutely.
Okay. At the end of 2011, you can get a Ford Focus all-electric. Jay Leno's been allowing celebrities to drive them. Okay, it's going to have limited range, but don't just plan for life as it's always been. Try to take a jump ahead and try to get a head start on that. Because not only peak oil, but peak food and peak water. That's right. You know, in terms of food, it's already known. UN, a resource group in Canada, our food is going to be in decline unless we can find ways to irrigate better or switch to vegetarianism from meat.
Because our fish, too. Jay, talk about the oceans.
Yeah, the ocean farming will be done by 2048, according to the UN. So if you don't believe global warming, this is the studies. Fish are dying in the seas because of pollution and increased acidity and rising temperatures. Yes, the temperatures are rising in the sea and on this earth. No, it's not cooling down, even if you think today might be chilly outside. And water. How many truly fresh water bodies even do we have in Michigan? Groundwater is gone in many areas. Can't even put a well down anymore to get water from underground because it's gone. And so we have some real problems, especially in the water wonderland of fresh water here. And other people want our water too. So let's take a step beyond. Let's look for change and welcome it. There's a lot of good ideas out there. We got to learn more. We've got to read more books. We've got to take action.